We are truly in darkness now. No light anywhere, with only ghosts from the past to keep us company. Ghosts that try to lead us astray. This is never going to be an easy journey. But I didn't expect this. Not to see him again. One foot in front of the other now. Darkness is merely the absence of light. Lathander, protect us. This is Red Moon Role Playing.
For hours now, you have been deep underground, traveling through these icy, maze-like tunnels. But finally, up ahead, something changes. It seems the tunnel opens into a vast grotto enclosed by gleaming ice, consigned here, frozen, is a fantastic city. Sculpted by ancient magic and illuminated in a haunting way by green and purple lights that shed no warmth. This ruin before you is impressive, large, oh so slightly tilted. You notice as you are looking ahead at you at this site that you're not quite looking at it from the correct angle. It seems to be leaning away from you slightly, as though recoiling from your presence. You also notice that you seem to be standing now upon a causeway of frost-covered ice. It stretches towards this city like a dead frozen tongue. What do you do, Roman, as you see this sight before you? An eerie, frozen ruin, and yet lit by these strange green and purple lights.
We're here. Finally. Velen, this is it, right? This is what we've been looking for.
Velen moves forward, looking around anxiously with her one eye. Yes, we are finally here. Behold, the lost city of Yifrin. Lost for over 1,000 years. We've made it! Somehow. Oh!
Somehow, but I fear that well, we're obviously not alone here. We have to be vigilant. There might be even greater foes waiting within. Roshik, are you alright?
I am looking around at this marvel of bridges and towers half suspended in the air. Yeah, I'm alright. Couldn't be better. So what are we exactly looking for in this place? I mean, what kind of building do you think this spell book is in?
Well, maybe we need to head towards the city center. Normally where the ruler of a city would be, isn't it? But perhaps you better double check. She takes out of her cloak the purple crystal that is Professor Scant and hands it to you, Roman.
I accept it.
Professor Scant hums a little as you hold him and says, "Greetings. What is your query?"
This is the lost city of Yifrin, yes? And I point towards it and try to show that to Professor Scant.
The orb shimmers a little. After all, it doesn't have any eyes, or head, or any real perception other than it being just a crystal, before remarking, "Perhaps. Certainly seems it."
What we're looking for, it would be located in the center of the city, right?
What is your query? What are you looking for?
Velen, what exactly is it that we're looking for? We're looking for a spellbook, right? That's what you wanted.
She looks a bit irritated at you, having just been rubbing her forehead as if in deep thought, before looking back at the crystal and saying, first of all, where normally would the High Archlich have dwelt? Again, I can't quite recall. Oh, of course. Naturally, in Yifrin, like most cities of the Neverese, central government and the rulership would be in the center of the city, often in the High Court.
Did you say Archlich?
Yes. Again, remember, different time. Many cities were run by archliches. Again, their power and magic was way beyond our own. Their liches were significantly greater than what we consider a lich today.
I mean, such a being might survive for a very long time, is all I'm thinking.
Yes, well, normally they live forever until someone destroys them in their phylactery.
Yes, I am too familiar with those. Well, does that mean that the whole city was an undead city of sorts?
No, not at all. Oh, goodness me. Explain, Professor. Naturally. In Neferi society, the concept of lichdom and the magics involved within often were very different from that of today. The undead curse and other problems could be delayed by thousands of years. It was considered the pinnacle of high wizardry to attain such a state of being.
I see. All right. Well, there's only one thing for it. Unless you sense some other presence in here, to me it just looks like a big, dead hole.
Well, let's be on the lookout. I begin trying to locate a way forward to get towards the center of this city. I mean, there's a path, right? There's a bridge.
There is indeed. An icy pathway leads to the city. Looking at the city itself, you would notice that there does indeed seem to be a very large central structure towering above all the other buildings. It does seem to have archways or bridges leading to it, although from this distance, you can't quite see how you get on them or even what they are. Are they simply holding the building up, or do they have some other function?
What do you think, Rorschach? What would be the best way through here?
Well, we can just go inwards, see where we end up, and perhaps there are some kind of signs leading the way.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, let's go. And I begin moving forward.
Velen begins following after you, looking anxious but also excited as you begin approaching the city. It is eerily quiet. There is no sounds of any life anywhere nearby. Maybe once you can imagine the sounds of people walking these streets. There are many other buildings as well, tall and towering, with domes, high ceilings, strange architecture. All dark, all ruined, other than these strange glowing lights that seem to be coming from sometimes within a building, sometimes far away, a green purplish glow, giving everything a rather haunting appearance. Roman, as you lead the way, you notice that the first step onto the pavement, ancient stone, is a little awkward. After all, everything is tilted slightly to the left. But when you do step forward, you feel a strange tug. Suddenly, everything rights itself. You are now standing level. What do you do?
Huh, that's strange. Magics, they must still be active somehow.
If you were to look behind you, you would notice that Rorschach and Velen now all look slightly tilted.
This is not good. I look to them, because they would see me then being tilted, yes?
Yes.
Huh.
Look at that.
Some sort of change of gravity?
I suppose so. Makes sense, given what the Netheries were able to do.
And I step on to feel this sensation myself.
And you do so, and now you are standing at the correct level, while Velen isn't. Then Velen quickly joins you, and now all three of you are nice and level, while the exit you've just come from and the tunnel is now slightly tilted.
How sophisticated.
The crystal pipes up. Naturally, after all, flying cities did sometimes tilt every now and again. It would not have been very good if everyone fell off. The Neveries were very careful to make sure they had magical enchantments to ensure that did not happen.
Well, they thought of everything, didn't they? I say, and I start moving ahead again.
Velen chuckles a little. Well, not quite everything.
No, they did perish, after all.
You begin moving forwards along ancient stone. Although, when you look down at it, it is rather intricate. You can already see beautiful spiraling patterns. This is clearly man-made. To the left and right of you are many buildings and structures. Tall, towering, 3 or 4 floored buildings, courtyards, and ruin. There's all over the place evidence of scattered something, dust, clothes, old bits of brick and mortar. And of course, as you now begin walking further into the city, you can see if you look to the right, a large part of it does seem to be wedged into a wall of ice, of snow covering everything. Even the parts of the city that are not in this ice wall have elements of frost and snow and sleet covering things.
Does it feel like weather is coming in, like wind, or is it very still, like a sealed chamber?
It is as still as a tomb. There is certainly a strange feeling on the air. You almost think you can feel, when you look above you, the weight of the glacier. After all, how far down have you come?
And will we be able to navigate up through those wretched corridors again when we are done here?
If we find the Mythalar, perhaps we can use its power to get ourselves out of here. Might not have to navigate our ways through those dark caverns again.
You think you'll melt the whole glacier with it?
I'd advise against that, only because I have a feeling that could create such a catastrophe that you'd undo all the good work you've just done, just saying.
What do you mean?
Melting the... You saw the glacier with your own eyes as we came in. What would happen if you melted that much ice and mountain at once, do you think, dear Roshek?
Sea level would increase a little bit, maybe? What could be bad about that?
Are you aware... Have you ever studied the concept of sea levels rising? Are you aware of something called a tsunami? No? Oh, goodness me, you two.
I just look at Roman and shrug.
All right, no, I see how you're acting. Okay, I'll put it in simple children's terms. You might destroy all the 10 towns. How's that sound?
That doesn't sound good.
There we go, then. Goodness me. Oh, what's next? Oh, maybe we should just fill the desert of water. Oh, maybe the mountain could just be turned into a forest. Oh, maybe we can just burn the forest. It's fine.
Velen starts getting quite irate and muttering to herself.
Oh, calm down. We'll fine. I trust you know how we're supposed to get out of here once we're done.
No, I don't. But, well, if we made it through those tunnels once, we can make it through them again.
Yeah.
Well, one thing at a time. Man, if we can change the weather, perhaps at least some sun will come through.
That would be good.
Possibly. Anyway, Vela's looking around, very intrigued at things, but does seem to be keeping her eye on this central, great building.
You also would notice, as you part them, that the city did seem to have a circular shape, you think, Roman? You think you could see several little towers all surrounding the very perimeter, which you then passed by. And also, you think up ahead, you can also see again, are there more towers surrounding this central building? Interesting. You seem to be approaching one of the great arches that hold up this central building. As you get closer and closer, it does seem to be quite vast, heading from where you are on the ground all the way up to this building. The building itself, you notice, seems to be sort of almost hovering in the air, but when you get closer, you realize it's not hovering. It's built over something. There is something holding it up, but you can't quite see. It almost looks like darkness, but reflective in some way. It's very strange.
This truly is a wondrous place.
Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately, I don't think we have time to fully explore everything, but goodness, look at some of these buildings. There must be... No, we must stay focused.
Yes, the treasures that are hidden here, it... Well, but we need to stay focused. We have to save the 10 towns. All right, well, let's make our way then to the center.
And you continue making your way forwards. At one point, to your right, you pass what looks like some sort of large... amphitheatre. You've seen these. They have something like them in the great cities of the Sword Coast. Big stadiums, sometimes where games are held. Here, though, it's got a very strange, wide area where the seats are all surrounding, and there are these weird pylons in the air. Very strange. Very strange. Again, littered with rubble and rubbish.
And there's nothing about? No noise, no signs of movement, any... I try to look at the ground, see if there's footsteps, any indications of something moving around.
None. However, even though the floor and ground is dusty, you notice some parts of it look rather clean. Strange.
Might be just another practical use of magic, keeping this place clean, I mutter to myself.
Yes, I would be very careful. This is a magical city, and even though much of it probably no longer works as it once did, she gestured to some of these weird lights you keep seeing. Clearly something is still on, or working. Otherwise those are magical lights.
Yeah. Well, doesn't seem like anyone is trying to do anything much here. I suppose that's a good sign.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You notice this great sort of holding structure you seem to be approaching does seem to have a front. And as you get closer, you think you see a gate. It seems to be engraved with strange sigils around its entrance. What do you do as you approach?
I'm going to move up to study the sigils. What kind of motifs are there? Is it characters of some kind, or do I recognize it?
Roll me a arcana check.
17.
You look at the sigils. Huh. You are no wizard, but as you dabble sometimes in similar circles, sometimes anyway, you are familiar with the 8 symbols of magic. These are those. 8 symbols for the 8 schools. And then you also notice at the very top, as you squint, there is something written.
Do you remember that tower with the Van Richten? You know, I was standing outside, waving my arms, about to be blasted by a lightning bolt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't read much of those symbols, and I can't read it now either. I say, and I go up and I look up at this.
It's the symbols describing the different schools of magic. And then there's this.
Roman, you cannot read it. It is written in some sort of script. Elvish, Draconic, something like that, right? But you do not know those languages.
No. I know a number of languages, but not this. Velen, do you recognize this? What does it say?
She sort of starts squinting with her one eye. Roshek, as you're looking at these letters, they start to swirl around a little before your eyes, before spelling out something in common.
Oh, wait a second. I think I can read this.
It says, in common suddenly, "All welcome to the High Court. To pass, simply perform the rite of the arcane Octad, and be welcome."
The rite of the arcane Octad? High Court. Does that mean anything to you?
What? It says... How can you read that?
Can't you? It's shifted. It's written in common.
No, it's not. If anything, it's written in Draconic. It probably actually is written in Loras. Similar languages, but you could well... Huh. Well, that's useful. Present scan can translate vocally, of course, but it is quicker if you could just read it. Okay, very good. High Court, it says. Wonderful, this is the place. Rite of the Arcane Octad. I have no idea what that is.
Does it have something to do with the, what you mentioned, the 8 schools of magic?
Oh, well... Professor Scant!
Professor Scant responds. Ah, the Rite of the Arcane Octad. Yes, a ritual known to all high wizards and even their servants. A simple security measure... For the city of Yifrin, many other Nefri cities also had similar rituals and arcane practices that needed to be completed in order to bypass force fields or magical barriers.
Well, do you know how? What do we do? How do we do it?
That is unknown. It differed from city to city. Sometimes they even changed it every few years, sometimes 100 years.
Do you have an example of one that once existed?
I have several examples. Example number one. Perform an advanced summoning, then douse yourself in flame, then commit the act of Rishnishnis, which translates to magical bullet device. A second example, he begins listing off several long complicated rituals, each one sounding quite elaborate and quite complex.
Well, that'll take some time to even try one of those, and we don't have...
We don't. Press the scan, shut up. Roman, I have a bad feeling about this. She starts looking around. I don't think this time we're going to have someone just walk by and do this for us. We're going to need to... There'd be a reference somewhere. If it's something all the people would know, at least most of them, there'd be a reference somewhere. She starts looking around the ruins.
Yes. Is there like a library or something like that, maybe?
Well, of course there's a library, but no, it'd be...
Her eyes settle then on one of these towers. Now you're quite close to one of these towers. They all seem quite similar size. As you start looking, you notice there are other towers, all similar sized, similar in length, with symbols. The symbols on them are the symbols of the schools of magic. The one that she's looking at right now, you think, would be divination.
Divination?
Divination, yes. That tower there, it's got the symbol of divination on it, hasn't it?
It does.
Well, you know what divination magic is, don't you?
I do. Can't say that I am particularly good at it.
So, what? And I look around and I see that the towers do have matching symbols and sigils. Somehow it's tied to one of those? Is that where we're going?
Well, let us start. If I'm correct, 8 towers dedicated to the magical arts would probably have been considered, you know, sort of the centers of those schools. Again, remember, this is a wizard city. People learn the magic, study the magic. Surely someone like that would have access to the... Remind me again how the council worked, Professor Scant.
Professor Scant remarks, the city of Ifrin naturally was ruled by the Archlich, Irolathus. He, of course, had his council, the Wizards of the Ebon Star. 8 wizards, each representing a school of different magic.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes, yes. He had 8 wizards beneath him as the rulers of the city. So if you were the ruler of a city, maybe you'd know the way of getting into the main government building, no? Am I going mad? Does that not sound reasonable?
Yes, and I suppose each of those rulers would know as well. All the representatives would know this ritual. Right, then, well, let's go there. Let's go to that tower and see if there is anything left behind.
Yes, all right then, let's be careful, but yes, sorry Roman, I think we are going to have to do a little city exploration after all, but is it a tower or two, or what's the worst that could happen?
No, and I am quite interested to see what we might find, but again, let us remember that in this city, you might never have had to die, you might have been able to live forever, and someone might still be alive, waiting for us, waiting for something.
As you say that, you crunch something with your foot and you look down and you think you see some sort of old remnant of a cloak or something filled with dust.
Yes. Well, let's get moving.
You begin heading towards this tower, passing a few things. First of all, the pavement suddenly becomes a little harder to continue down because there seems to be the remains of some statue here. Some strange giant statue has collapsed onto the road and you need to move around it. You can't see it from the front, but from behind it looks like a formless giant of some kind wielding a great stone hammer. But again, it's broken and you're seeing it from behind. This means that the pathway kind of narrows a little, passing by a great building on the way to the tower. This is a large, large building. Seems like it has several floors. 8 tusk-like towers are embedded in the walls of this building. their spires arching over its shattered roof.
I try to keep an eye out for anything that might be a threat, but I guess it is all quiet.
Quiet as the grave. But Roshek, as you move forward, you'd notice that there seems to be a lot of rubble suddenly in your way. But this building seems to have several holes in its wall. Quite easy to enter.
How about we just go in through one of these, I say, and I kind of peer into one of these openings.
You peer into this ruin. Naturally, darkness is everywhere, but there are a few strange purple lights. You see a great deal of old rotten desks, shelves full of dusty something, most of it fallen apart. Carpets, chandeliers. Once you think this would have looked very grand, but now it is in ruin and decay.
Yeah, it's all just fallen apart. But perhaps there is an office somewhere, something.
Yeah. Even places like this can't stand against the effects of time. Not completely, anyway.
Indeed. Now, I think Roshek might be right. If you look, we could just quickly look in. It might get round this rubble in front of us now, and then we can just continue. No need to explore the whole building. Just move forwards.
Yes.
Right. In here, then.
Roshek, do you lead the way?
Yes.
You begin moving into the interior. You immediately see some staircases directly in front of you, completely blocked by rubble and fallen masonry. So, looking from there, you see quite a large hallway in this building. At the end of the hallway, you see a hole in the wall, and it does indeed seem as if going through this hallway will simply lead you around this rubble, and you'll be able to continue to the tower.
Well, that stair is blocked. Might be a way up over there.
Agreed. Let's try that.
You begin moving forward into this great chamber that this hallway leads into. Again, the exit is right in front of you, but as you look to your left, you see 8 stained glass windows overlooking this ruined auditorium. Everywhere, benches are glistening with frost, arrayed in broken rows, facing what you think was once a raised platform of some kind. Roman, you'd recognize it as the sort of thing that perhaps someone like yourself would be standing at while other people listen to them speak. You notice that on top of it is a bejeweled goblet. Steam is rising from the goblet's contents and dissipating in the cold air, implying that there is something in the goblet right now. The stained glass windows, meanwhile, seem to depict individuals. Robed figures, each holding their hand out, and on the hand, a symbol. A symbol of magic.
Is it... What symbol is it? Is it a specific school of magic?
All 8 are here. 8 stained glass windows, 8 magical symbols, 8 robed figures of different sizes and shapes.
Does this mean anything to you?
Not quite sure. But it symbolizes the different schools of magic. I don't know. Perhaps we need to activate it somehow? Is that what this is?
Seems to be something in that goblet, I say, and I reach out with my mage hand spell to see if it is movable.
It is indeed. You pick it up with your mage hand spell. A small blue hand hovering and just lifting this goblet off this lectern. As you're doing this, Velen remarks,
"Well, hang on a minute, you two and your symbolism. Remember, this is a city. Clearly we're in some sort of, well, I don't know, a school of some kind or a learning place. Look at the lecterns. Look at the desks we just came past."
"I suppose, yeah, that's what it does look like," I say, and I let my hand come closer to me to show this goblet.
The goblet comes closer. It seems to be covered in 8 sparkling gemstones around the rim. Otherwise, it is made of gold.
I say. As I bring it closer and see this, I remark, "Well, these gemstones might symbolize the different schools of magic," and I peer into the goblet itself, if it's holding something.
It is. Currently, some steaming hot beverage.
What What is this? It looks like a drink of some sort.
I would not suggest drinking that.
What do you think it is, I say, and I hold it over to Velen.
I don't know. Clearly it's... Wait, hang on a minute. She begins muttering something under her breath, and a little sigil appears between her fingers for a moment. She then looks at the goblet and remarks, "Well, it's definitely magical. I'm not entirely sure what sort of magical artifact it is, but there is definitely magic at work here. Perhaps divination magic."
It could be part of the rite, perhaps. Perhaps we'd understand something if... if it is divination, maybe there's information stored away in this liquid. Surely it's not like they would just have a random goblet of poison.
I agree, although I still agree with Roman. You should be careful. I can't tell more about the spell, but there is definitely a spell upon it.
All right. Well, I'll hang on to this for now and see if we find anything else of value, or something describing this goblet, at least.
What do you do with the goblet?
I take it with me.
How do you do that?
I transfer it from my mage hand to my actual hand.
Very well, Roshik. You are now holding in your hand a goblet with a warm beverage in it.
And it's nice. It's coming through my gloves. I can feel the warmth from it. Cup it into both my hands. Warm myself on this little source of heat.
Velen begins moving towards the hole in the wall that leads them back outside. What do you do, Roman, in this quiet place?
I look around. I'm just trying to locate anything of interest, but if I don't find anything, I suppose I will follow Velen, see what she finds.
It would appear that Roshik has taken the thing of interest. Everything else is ruined, messy, gone. Who knows what this place once had? But again, 1,000 years is a long time.
It certainly is a long time.
I look around at the images depicted on the glass and the walls. Is there any depiction of the goblet itself?
No.
Oh, if this is what she thinks we needed, I say, and I follow after her.
As you step out of the building's threshold, you notice sound coming from the goblet, and the liquid vanishes.
Oh, it disappeared. I try holding it inside the building again to see if it comes back.
It does. Slowly starts filling up. It doesn't appear immediately, but it just slowly starts filling.
Well, I mean, look at this, Roman.
Yeah, that's quite something.
Well, oh, yes. Well, clearly that means the enchantment is tied to the building itself, or something in the building anyway. That makes sense, in case thieves steal your magical artifacts. Sometimes a wizard will enchant something so it only works in a certain area.
I still wonder what we're supposed to be doing with this. I don't know, this liquid, is this for drinking, is for setting on fire? I try to smell it.
It smells like water.
It doesn't smell like anything, really. Well, if it's bad, can't you just heal me, Roman? Maybe I'm supposed to drink it as a part of a ritual, or there's information stored in it.
Well, I could certainly try, if you're willing to take that risk.
I don't know. I suppose it's several thousand-year-old magic. Maybe that's too powerful for you.
Well, you can do as you wish. I don't know if it'll be that harmful. It doesn't seem like it'd be harmful, but I have no idea what it would do.
I try pouring a little on the floor.
You pour a little on the floor, and it falls to the floor as hot water would.
And I take a glove off and I try pouring a little on my hand.
You pour it onto your hand. It's warm. Not boiling hot, just warm water.
Well, I don't know. It's... All right, I'll have a little sip. And I put the goblet to my lips and just take a little sip.
And so you take a sip from this cup. You feel a pleasant sensation. It doesn't taste very interesting, it just tastes like warm water. But you feel a strange tingling in your fingers. Suddenly, you believe you know a new cantrip. You don't know how you know it, you just do. The chill touch cantrip. A signature spell of the school of necromancy. The water, then, disappears from the cup.
Oh, that's it? I feel like I've gained some knowledge. Interesting. Well, I know a spell. I try casting it.
Chill touch is naturally a spell, which makes your touch icy and slightly painful to beings, but doing it just in your hand, the energy comes forth. Huh. Interesting. That's a basic necromancer cantrip. Did you not know that before?
I've not been given that one. No. Felt like something I might be able to learn, but no. Curious.
Well, interesting. I suppose, well, let's say this is a magical school building. Maybe you've just been given a little, first-class assignment spell to practice with.
Ha, I suppose. Well, it's funny, though, if it doesn't feel like a divination spell.
Well, you've been given the knowledge of it, my dear boy. Sometimes the transfer of knowledge would come under that school.
I suppose that's right, yeah. As the cup is now empty, I put it into my bag.
And you put the cup in your bag. Velen looks at you a little impatiently and says, well, that's all very fascinating. Actually, it is quite fascinating, but no, we don't have time to focus on the trialities. Let's get going.
Where are we going, to the next tower?
Yes, this way. You notice now that where you are in this building, the tower is directly in front of you.
Ah, right. I let Roman take the lead.
I do so.
And so you leave this building for now, Roshek stowing away the cup. It does not fill with water again, but now you have a nice gold jeweled cup in your backpack. As you approach this tower, you are now much closer to it. It is a large structure. At the very top, you see that symbol, the symbol which apparently is the symbol of divination. The walls of the tower itself, though, you now notice, are etched with intricate designs of hands and eyes. Silver light is flickering from a high window above, and as you go to the entrance, there does seem to be a large carved eye, which as you step to the door, looks down and blinks a few times.
I flinch as it looks down at us.
The eye stares at you.
Well, what's this?
I don't know. Greetings?
Yes.
There is silence. This eye, which seems to be made in the stone, simply looks at you, blinking every now and again.
May we pass?
Nothing is said. You notice in front of you what was once a doorway has fallen in. In fact, you can also notice, now as you look very close, that bits of the tower do seem to have fallen off. There's holes. You can't see what's beyond them, but if you look up, there are definitely holes in this once quite pristine tower.
Well, it's not objecting.
It is not. Well, let's be careful. I hold up my shield, and just in case there's some kind of trap or something here, and I take the lead.
Roman, you go first, entering the interior. There doesn't seem to be much initially. Again, you keep seeing elements that show that once this place would have been full of shelves and crates and desks, maybe even people. Now there is nothing. But there is a staircase going upwards. The silver light you could see from outside the tower seems to be coming from up above you. What do you do?
Up. We have to get up.
You begin moving up. You see up ahead large gashes in the roof and walls, allowing you to see the outside of the tower. But before you, accumulating at the very top, is silver light. The silver light seems to emanate from a 3-foot-high diameter glass orb, situated atop a 2-foot-high cylindrical stone plinth. This is in the center of a large chamber. Inside this glowing silver orb are eyeballs drifting around like fish in a bowl. Some are blinded, Some are bloodshot, but they all turn to look at you as you enter this room with this orb.
Oh, that's disconcerting. I stop in my tracks a bit, looking at all these eyes, looking at me.
Yeah, that is slightly disturbing.
But as nothing seems to happen, I move forward and I try to move up to this orb. We need it, probably, I think to myself.
You move closer to this silver glowing orb that seems to be just hovering above this little pedestal. There's also, again, something written on the pedestal. You can't read what it says, though, Roman. However, roll me a religion check.
15.
Even though the symbols look old, you do think you recognize some of them as the symbols of Savras, the god of divination. Interesting.
The god of divination. This orb, it might be just what we need to be able to open the door, maybe move forward somehow. All right. I'll reach out to grab it.
You place your hands on the orb. What do you do?
I try and take it, try and loosen it, if I can.
It does not move. It is stuck, hovering in the air precisely where it is.
There's some kind of magic at work here. I will try to dispel the magic that's holding it up.
You are about to do this when Velen just comes forward and says, Wait, Roman, if you think what you're going to do, what I think you're going to do, just hold on a second. Remember, just simply dispelling magics here could be very disastrous.
Oh. Sure. What do you recommend doing?
Well, first of all, what does it... Wait, Roshek, what does that say? Can you read that?
Let me see. I squint at the text.
The text swirls and says in common to you, "Ask, and we shall find."
It says, "Ask, and we shall find." I guess this is a source of information. What was it called again? Rite of the Eight Schools.
Rite of the Arcane Octad.
Right. We seek the rite of the Arcane Octat.
The eyes look at you, but nothing happens.
Can please find for us the rite of the Arcane Octat, I say impatiently.
Professor Scant, can you translate for us?
Professor Scant translates the command. Again, nothing happens. Velen clicks her teeth a little and says, "Well... just making a random guess, but sometimes magic requires, you know, a physical touch or you doing something, not just speaking. Why don't you try touching the orb, as you say it? Maybe. I don't know, this could be very dangerous, by the way. Just saying."
All right, then. I reach out my hand and I say, as I touch it, "We seek the rite of the Eight Octat." No, crat. "We seek the rite of the Arcane Octat."
You feel the eyes begin to move quite rapidly, and there is a strange glow in the air. Could you roll me a constitution saving throw?
7.
Roshek, several things happen at once. From everyone else's perspective, you suddenly open your eyes wide as they begin to burn with a strange light. The eyes in the orb begin moving around rapidly as this spell comes to fruition. From your point of view, Roshek, your vision suddenly soars above the city, higher, higher, into the ceiling, then down again, down, quickly, moving through buildings, a conservatory, some strange-looking old place full of strange plants, a library, old books rotting. You're zooming around at high speeds. How are you feeling, Roshek?
I feel completely swept away and out of balance.
Roman, what do you do? You can see Roshek looking a little panicked. His eyes, something is happening, and he is rigid as he holds this orb, but definitely something is occurring.
I move up to try to grab a hold of him, make sure that he doesn't injure himself somehow. Roshek!
You were able to hold him steady. Roshek, finally, suddenly, your vision stops on something. It seems to be a plaque of some kind, lying half in the rubble. Again, for a moment, the writing is strange, but it swirls before you, before saying, "Hold a wand crafted from the Never Oak over your heart. Summon a flame in your palm. Speak a secret about yourself aloud. Then compel another to share a secret with you privately. Then..." And then you see the words continue a bit into the rubble, but you can't see any more. But you can definitely see there is more to the sentence.
"And as I have been led here, I try to take control of this and navigate to understand where this plaque is found."
You do so, and as you do so, you feel a sharp, stinging pain in your eyes. Your vision returns immediately back to you in this room, and then a strange, dull pain falls your left eye. Take 10 piercing damage as your left eye vanishes from your head and appears in the orb before you.
"Oh, my eye! Oh, I grasp at my head, my face. Oh, my eye!"
Velen runs forward. "Roman, Roshik has suddenly closed his left eye quite tightly. Not sure why. He seems to be in pain. However, there is no blood. There's no sign of a horrific injury, but he is closing his eye tightly."
"Are you all right?"
"I stole my eye."
"What? Your eye?"
I point at the orb of eyes.
"Roman, you can see a new eye has joined the eyes. It's one of Roshek's."
Oh. Roshik. That's horrible."
It's fine. I saw something. I saw a vision. I was traveling through the city. We're looking for a plaque. There's a plaque half buried somewhere. It described where, what we're supposed to do. There was a clear instruction of what must be the right.
Well,
I need to try and navigate.
You think you can find it? Maybe we can come back for your eye afterwards. Maybe there's a way to get it back."
Maybe, Velen says, sounding very uncertain. She's also moved forward towards one of the walls where there's a hole. She then remarks to you, "You say plaque. Did you get any idea what the plaque itself looked like? What was the texture? What was the stone like?"
"It was almost covered with rubble. I tried to describe it as good as I can. Was it like a brass-like plaque?"
"Yes, there was a certain brass pattern in the back."
"It's a brass-like plaque. I was taken soaring above the whole entire city, then it zoomed in, down, and I tried to get an idea of where that was."
Sadly, the pain in your eye is very distracting. You can't recall such details. Again, the vision was a very disorientating thing. But you do notice Velen then tap the wall. Roman, you'll notice she's tapping what looks like a bit of bronze plaque, although, again, then the wall no longer is there.
"I have a feeling that maybe... that sounds like there was something here once, you see, where there's a massive hole. Maybe that plaque was here, or something like it. Maybe the other towers have similar plaques."
"Yeah, yeah, I suppose," I say, and I just hold my head where my eye was.
"Yes, Roshik, this is disorientating to say the least. It doesn't hurt as much as you'd think it would, and again, you're not bleeding, but yes, as you sort of try, you feel your eye opening, the muscles are all still there, but the eye is gone."
"Why do places and people always want my eye?"
Velen looks at you confused. "I'm sorry, what?"
"Nothing. Just a memory."
"I did say it was dangerous, but I think you may have got something. But maybe we shouldn't use this anymore, just saying."
"Sure. Well, if that helps, then there's something."
"Well, what did you actually read? What did you read? What did it say?"
"Well, it was the start of an instruction. We're supposed to stand in front of the building, summon a source of flame, tell a secret have someone else tell you a secret. And then it continued below into the rubble.
I see. So you repeat it again, what you remember, and she repeats back at you. Okay, I see. So hold a wand crafted from something called Never Oak. Well, okay, maybe there's a wizard city. There should be one somewhere. Summon a flame. That doesn't necessarily mean magical. Any flame would do, you'd think. And a bit of secret sharing. Okay, that's definitely something. That sounds like a ritual. All right, then. Well, she looks across the hole in the wall to a tower nearby. Well, it's up to you to... do you feel like we should continue or not? There's a tower over there. We could again investigate.
Well, yeah, sure. What do you think, Roman?
Well, yeah, why not?
All right, then. Well, let's get out of here, she says, sort of looking at these eyes in the orb. And you begin leaving the tower?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Roshek, you look one last time at this orb. You see your own eye looking back at you quite peacefully before leaving this tower. As you leave by the exit, the eye above looks at you for a bit longer before closing, almost seeming satisfied. And so you leave the tower, heading onwards into the dark city. As you leave the tower, not only do you feel the eyes of the tower upon you, but perhaps other eyes as well.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frost Maiden, for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. The music was created by Flowers for Body Snatchers, Ugasanye, Word Clock, and Metatron Omega, and was used with permission from their label, Cryo Chamber. Check them out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoshobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, David Hogbay, and Camilla for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. May Lathander protect you and fill the world with light.